Don't matter how much money you had, but thank God mercy stepped in. Amen. I appreciate that, Brother Larry. That's a great song. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would, the book of Philippians chapter 3. The book of Philippians chapter 3. I want to, this morning, look at this topic a different way. Y'all know I'm always different. I like to be different. I am me, and that's it. Amen. I ain't going to look at no other way. I'm just me. But we know the story of Easter, the resurrection power, right? Well, I don't want to look at the resurrection power. I want to look at the power of resurrection. There's a difference this morning, and I want us to grab a hold of this thought, not resurrection power, but the power of resurrection. All right? That's two different things. And I want us to grab a hold of this. To be in the image of Christ's resurrection is to experience the power of the resurrection. And I want you to look with me at Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. The Bible says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Father, we thank you for what our hearts have felt already in this place today. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, when I couldn't make it, mercy walked in. Lord, I'm so thankful for that today. Now, Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we could understand and get what thus saith the Word of God. Lord, if there's one lost and undone without you, I pray that this would be the day they'd give their heart and life to you. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. There wasn't anything Paul was not willing to do to sacrifice his life for the Lord. Do you realize that? Paul was sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he went to jail. He went the extra mile for the Lord. And if you ever want to experience the power of resurrection, you're going to have to sell out to the Lord Jesus Christ. This goes right along with our Sunday school lesson this morning on God saved us to serve, not to sin. Amen? And we've got to sell out to the Lord Jesus Christ like Paul did. He counted all things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It didn't matter what he said, she said. And you know, if we'd quit worrying about what he said and she said, we could sell out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many times we worry about what others think about the situation. We worry about what others might say about us if we sell out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the biggest thing that I hear is they gonna think we're holy rollers here at Mount Carmel. They gonna think that we're this, we're that. It don't matter what others think. If you just sell out to the Lord Jesus Christ and give God all of you instead of part of you, then you can experience the power that was in resurrection morning. We need to grab a hold of this thing this morning. All is meaningless. I don't care what we stand and say, how we live our lives. It's all meaningless without resurrection. Did you know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 17. The Bible says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is what? It's meaningless. Your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. I want us to understand this morning, there's power in resurrection, but there was resurrection power also. We need to grab a hold of that this morning. Without Jesus raising from the grave and walking out of there, the third glorious morning, our faith is in vain. And you know, our by grace are you saved, what? Through faith, right? If it wasn't for Jesus Christ's resurrection, we would be saved by faith alone. Is that not right? But now it's by grace through faith that we're saved. There's power in resurrection. When you walk out of your own grave, that's power. Amen? Paul, Silas, I mean, none of those folks caused him to raise up. It was his own power that allowed him to walk out of that grave that third glorious morning. To be in the image of Christ's resurrection, there's four things today I want you to hold on to. If you're writing them down, number one, I believe through the image of Christ's resurrection, we're going to have a change in our life. Number one, a change in our life. Acts chapter 3 and verse 26. I want you to look what the Bible has to say. Unto you first, God, watch this. See that comma right after God? That means pause. That means stop right there. It says, having raised up his son, Jesus sent him to bless who? My. Bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. You see, when Jesus Christ raised up that third day, he allowed us to change also. Because if you remember when Jesus arose out of the grave, he told the disciples, touch me not, because I have not yet ascended unto my Father. You remember him saying that? That because there was a change, he went from human form to, I guess if you want to look at it, to a godly form or an angelic form, however you want to look at that. He said, I have not yet ascended to my Father. Now, I want you to think about this in these terms. When you got saved, when you bowed down and said, Lord, I'm a sinner, come into my heart and life and save me, was there not a change immediately? Huh? But without resurrection, there wouldn't have been a change, would they? But you see, the thing that bothers me is when people say they got saved and there's no change. That bothers me, amen? If you get saved, listen, genuine salvation changes your desires, amen. It changes your desires to be in church when the doors are open. It changes your desires to throw down this book and pick up the book, amen? It changes. There's a lot of changes that goes on in your life because he resurrected. There's power in that resurrection. But we've got to be changed in order to experience the power of resurrection. I've seen people say they've been saved, and you know what? We got to judge only by the fruit that they bear. That's all we can do, right? That's what the Bible says. We can't say you didn't get saved. We can't do that. But what we do is judge them by the fruit that they bear. Are they bearing the right fruit? If not, they didn't receive the power of resurrection and have been changed by the grace of God. And you know, I know this ain't popular this morning, but it's the gospel, folks. And we need to preach heaven sweet and hell's hot. Ain't that right, Miss Penny? Some of y'all didn't see her Facebook status yesterday. She said, we got a country preacher that preaches heaven sweet and hell's hot. Well, you know what? I'm going to do that till the Lord takes me home, whether you like it or not. Amen. And today is one of those messages that I'm here to tell you, if there hadn't been a change in your life, you haven't received the power of resurrection. And that's not Helms theology, that's God's word. There'll be a change, my friend, when Jesus Christ steps into your heart and to your life. There'll be a change. To be in the image of Christ, there's a change. There's no power in us to change ourselves. Did you know that? We can't do it on our own. If anybody could do it on their own, everybody would be saved, right? Sure we would. But it takes the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, He had to die in order to resurrect. He had to shed His life's blood in order to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, what I'm telling you is it all had to start on Calvary and end up the third day resurrecting. That's where the power comes from. There are things in our lives you wish you could change. You know, I've often said, if I could do it my way, it'd be different. How many's ever said that? Not just Christianity, I'm talking about in life general. Boy, if I could just put my foot down, it'd be a little bit different around here. Huh? Y'all know where I'm coming from. Well, how many know that there's no change that lies inhuman over your soul? It's got to go through the blood in order to be changed. I don't care how much money you got, how many bank accounts you've got, how many beach houses, mountain houses, all of this thing that you've got in your possession. If you don't possess the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and life, there has not been a change. And money's not going to change it. 30 pieces of silver didn't cause life, but caused death. I'm going to repeat that. Lord, just give me that. 30 pieces of silver didn't cause life, but caused death. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? Judas didn't get rich, but he betrayed Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And when he betrayed Him, number one, Jesus was arrested, right? Then beaten, then hang on an old rugged cross and died, correct? But that ain't the end of death. Judas went out and hanged himself over money. Over those 30 pieces of silver, because there wasn't a true change in his heart and life. He betrayed Jesus. And can I say something to you today? We betray Jesus less than 30 pieces of silver every day. Every day. Folks, there needs to be a change in our lives, because God's already sent His darling Son to die on an old rugged cross. He's already provided the power. It's just we have got to be willing to accept it. There's nothing in me that I can change. It has to come from God. And when He does it, it ain't no mistake. We need to grab a hold of that. Number two, to be in the image of Christ's resurrection is to experience, number one, change. Number two, victory. I said this last week or two. I look at many people. Y'all know I see a lot of people that come in and out of John Deere. You know, I see a lot of people that sit in front of my desk that just looks down and out all the time. That just looks like they're depressed and like we're not happy. And then I leave work and come to church, and I see some of the same things on faces here. I wonder what's the matter. I'll tell you what's the matter is you hadn't realized the power of the resurrection, and you don't have victory in your life. When you, a baseball team, wins a national championship. You know, how many know what a dog pile is? Y'all know what that is? I'm not talking about a dog pile. I'm talking about, it's called a victory pile. Where when you win, everybody comes and just jumps and piles on each other. I don't want to be on the bottom. I'd have to fight somebody. All that weight on me, no, can't breathe, you know. I'd be the one on the top. But when you see victory, whether, and I was watching track and field yesterday because my Braves wasn't on TV. God help them. But every time somebody won a race, is that what they done? Huh? No, they was happy, wasn't they? You know why? Because they just had victory. And folks, if you've got Jesus, you've got victory this morning. We've got everything in the world to be happy about. We're going to cross the finish line one of these days. And we're on the winning side. We need to grab a hold. If you don't know what I'm talking about, read Revelation chapter 21 and verse 20 and chapter 22. Folks, if you've got Jesus, we win. We've got victory this morning. And we've got something to be happy about. But if you hadn't ever experienced that power, you don't know what I'm talking about. Man, I've been on North Carolina State Baseball Championship sidelines. I'd never seen one of my players walk off the field down and out. I've been to the regionals with baseball teams, coaching them. And, of course, when we got beat, did the other team walk off with their head down? No. They were shouting the victory. They had won the regionals. Well, how many know we have won not only the state, the regionals, but thank God we've earned and worked for, and thank God He's gave us eternal victory. We ought to shout this morning because we have victory. Some of us don't know what that is. I'll tell you why. Because you hadn't never experienced the power of resurrection. Number three. Not only to be in the image of Christ's resurrection is to experience the power of change, the victory, and number three, hope. Hope. Now, there's a lot of people, and I just had this happen last Sunday, that hope they're going to heaven. Well, if you used to die right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? Well, I hope so. You've heard that, I know, many times. Anybody that's ever been witnessing has heard those words, I hope so. Well, how many know the hope in Jesus Christ ain't the same hope that you're hoping to get to heaven? Hope in Jesus Christ means that you trust and you expect what He's going to do. It's not something that you're maybe laying back on and saying, I hope it's going to happen. But because of power of His resurrection, we now have hope in Jesus Christ. We have trust in Jesus Christ. I hear people all the time say this, and I think somebody somewhere told me this week, whether it was work or wherever, but they said they was witnessing to somebody, and they said, well, you know what? What if you're wrong and I'm right? Huh? No, let's look at it like this. I know I'm right and you're wrong. Huh? How do you know? Because my trust and my hope is in an everlasting God. One that exists for an eternal. There are so many people that are brainwashed and they're so wrong in their mindset that they think the Bible is wrong and they're right. We're just going to float around. When we die, that's it. Can I tell you something, folks? When you die, that's the beginning of a new life. Amen. Whether it's in heaven or hell, you go in one or the other, and praise God if you know that beyond any shadow of a doubt you're saved. Your hope is in Jesus Christ, and we're going to heaven one of these days. Hope is in Christ. That's trust. You know, I've read this Bible many years now, and I have never read anything that disappoints me about the resurrection. Praise God, He had to die. You say, why, preacher? Why did He have to die such a gruesome, awesome death? So I can live eternal. And you see, I believe that. Believing is trusting. You say, preacher, did you see Jesus die? No, I didn't. Neither did none of us. How many believe Jesus died, but you didn't see it? Right? Amen? There's so many people, and I want to give y'all something that's going to help you. And I've had people tell me this, preacher, if you didn't see it, you can't prove it. You ever heard that? Well, let me ask you something. How many of us in here saw George Washington? Was he the president? How do you know that? Can you prove that? Well, the books, all the history books tell us what my Bible tells me about Jesus Christ, and I can believe it and trust in it if I want to. Amen. We need to grab a hold of that. Just because the history book said it, that made it true? Well, you know what? Just because my Bible said it, it made it true. We got to grab a hold of this. So we've got change. We've got victory. We've got hope. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Look what that verse says. Watch this. 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, now watch. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear. Watch. What we shall be. Right? But we, see, there's your hope. That's your trust. There's your faith. That when He shall appear, watch this, we shall be like Him. Watch. For we shall see Him as He is. My. Folks, if you can't put your hope and trust in Jesus Christ this morning, there's something bad wrong. You had never experienced resurrection power. I've got my hope in Jesus Christ. I don't hope I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And praise God, I'm glad you can know you're saved. Randy, scroll down to 1 John 5:13. Everybody ought to already know that verse. It's a great witnessing tool to know that verse. But I want you to see it for yourself. I've quoted that verse 100 times, thousands of times. These things have I written unto you. All right, here it is again. That you believe. There's your faith. Is that not right? There's your trust. There's your hope. On who? The name of the Son of God, that ye may what? That's pretty definite, isn't it? Know what? Oh, my goodness. That's not hoping you're saved. Bless God, that's knowing you're saved. Amen. That ye may know you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's knowing who Jesus is. That's knowing what Jesus done. That's believing that He's one day coming back for us. That's eternal life. That's what we need in our homes. That's what we need. Instead of worrying about going out and marching, bless God, let's get our hearts and lives right and get to church on Sunday. And that way, hey, my friend, we can know we have eternal life and we can trust in Jesus Christ. And it ain't hoping that the weather's going to be all right so we can go march. Amen. We need that in America right now. In the day and hour which we're living, if they had to leave our president alone, he'd make a good one. Amen. Amen. Quit marching on every little thing. I wished I could get this out on Channel 9. I wouldn't be scared. I might preach a little harder if it's on Channel 9. No, I wouldn't. Then I could preach on hell, amen. And they need that. Hell's hot and heaven's sweet. And they ain't put no air conditioner down there yet. I want to give you one more this morning. Change, victory, hope, and last of all, salvation. If it wasn't for the power of resurrection, you and I wouldn't have salvation this morning. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 is a great verse that you need to mark down in your Bible. But we are all as unclean things. Isn't that the truth? Does it hurt sometimes when the preacher says you ain't nothing but dirt? True, ain't it? Bible says that we was made from the dust and we're going back to the dust. Amen? We're all dirt. And it says this, but we are all as unclean things and all of our righteousness, your goodness, your you, is our filthy rags. And we do all, watch this, excuse me, and we all do fade. Watch. How many knows we're going to die one of these days? You going back by the way of the grave, huh? Yes, unless the rapture takes place, right? I'd just soon cheat the undertaker. Wouldn't have to pay that $7,000 funeral bill. If the trumpet sounds, bless God, we're going to leave all of it behind. Yes. We're going to fade like a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, has taken us away. And how true is that today? What has sin done to the homes and to the churches? I'll tell you what's happened. It's ruining them. It is ruining homes. It's ruining churches. And it's making people ruin the church property like we just saw. Church right over here on Marshall Olive Branch Road, New Beginning, had their van and their church vandalized. How sad is that in the day we're living? It's sad, but not surprising. Am I right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, that word therefore is put there for a reason. Do you know that? Why is it there for? Well, look at it. If any man be in Christ, he's the same creature. Huh? Well, why we look old, like we're old, dirty, rotten, filthy rags? I'll tell you why. It's because we've somewhere along the line lost the power of resurrection. We've somewhere along the line forgot who Jesus is. We've somewhere along the line took our joy. The devil has robbed our joy, and we're not as proud of our salvation as we once was. He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Folks, it's good every once in a while to renew. Amen. The Bible says renew a right spirit within us. When's the last time we had our right spirit renewed? I'll tell you what, if you start thinking about the power of resurrection, it will renew the right spirit. Amen? And we'll forget about the old devil, the wrong spirit. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 through 5. Watch this now. Look what the Bible says. It says, "Know ye that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into power of resurrection," right? Look at the next verse. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism." We know what that stands for, right? I told y'all that a couple weeks ago. "Into death, that like Christ," now watch, "like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the" what? "Newness." In other words, don't let your salvation get old and crusty. Keep it new. You say, "How, preacher?" By renewing the right spirit that is within us. Remember the resurrection in the newness of life. My, look at the next verse. "For if we have been planted together," y'all see I use this in every funeral that I do for the saved. Because in some of y'all, I preach some of y'all's family's funeral and you've heard me say this. We never bury a Christian. We always plant them. And people's always wondered, "Why do you say that, preacher?" Because anything that's planted will come up again. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death," amen, "we shall be also in the likeness of his." What does that mean? That means we're going to rise again, amen. That's where I got that scripture. When I bury, so I don't bury nobody. I plant them because in the likeness of Jesus Christ, we're going to be just like him and raised up again one of these days. The Bible says when the trumpet sound, the dead in Christ will be raised first, right? "Then we which are alive and remain shall be" what? "Called up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Amen. We are to be thankful today for the power of resurrection, because it allows us to be changed. It gives us hope. It gives us salvation. It gives us a lot more than what we think. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Well, here it is again. "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are" what? See? "Risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead." Amen. Praise God. Being in the image of Christ, resurrection, means experiencing his power in life through change, victory, hope, and salvation. I tell you this morning, we need to take hold of his power. We need to take hold of that resurrected hand. So many times, we try it our way, and it don't work. You here this morning had never experienced the resurrection power or the power of resurrection, this altar's where you need to be. I don't know this morning who's saved and who's not. I don't know. But God does. He knows. Have you experienced resurrection power? If you haven't this morning, some of what I said, Paul said like this, it sounds like tinkling cymbals. In other words, it don't make a good sound to your ear. But how many know God don't mess with the ear, he gets to the heart? Amen. The Spirit convicts the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth is made unto salvation. Confession is made unto salvation. Folks, I'm here to tell you, if the Spirit is dealing with you this morning, don't leave this place not knowing you're going to heaven. Experience the power of resurrection. Miss Sandra, if you'd come. Father, Lord, we're thankful for the power of resurrection. Lord, we're thankful for sending your darling son to die on an old rugged cross so we could live. Lord, if there's one here this morning that don't know you in the free pardon of sin, Lord, help them to experience the power of resurrection. Lord, there's no way the grave they're living in right now, the tomb they're living in at this very moment, they can walk out by themselves. But it takes the convicting power of the Holy Ghost to allow them to walk that aisle this morning. Father, I pray that you would allow the Spirit to work in a mighty way. And we'll thank you and praise you while heads are bowed and eyes are closed.